Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. It's great to be back with you here again. This week we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme for this week's readings, it's a familiar one. It's one Jesus talks about frequently. Thinking ahead. Are you prepared? Preparing for the future. Where is your treasure? These are all the themes that we're going to hear about today as we look at the Sunday Mass readings. You know, I hope it doesn't come as a surprise if I tell you that one day you and I, we're going to die. This life on earth won't last forever. So are we preparing for our future to make sure that we end up in heaven? Right? That's what the Lord is calling us to do through these readings. Some good readings we're going to hear today. They are powerful. They're a little bit lengthier than the ones we've had over the past couple of weeks, but I think it's important for us to really let the Holy Spirit open our hearts and our minds to really be able to hear what the Lord has to say. I know I have to hear about this. This is a temptation for me, probably for you. It's one that many of us struggle with. Are we looking for the comfort every day? Are we looking for instant gratification and comfort? Our fallen human nature tends to do that. But Jesus is reminding us, no, I'm telling you, you need to be prepared and do what you have to do today so that one day you'll be able to live with me forever in heaven. That's the message that I personally can't hear this enough. And I think for the most part, we all need to hear this. So we're going to hear it today. I welcome you to the program. Hope you make yourself comfortable. Settle in. We're going to be here for the next 30 minutes or so. And let's do this. Let's, as we begin each week, let's kick it off with prayer. Let's recognize that we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father, that He hears our words, He reads our hearts, and He is willing to hear our requests for prayer that we pray, and answer them in the best way possible. So let's turn to our Father in heaven as we begin this program in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for being present with us. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for adopting us as your children. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world to redeem us. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us about the importance of preparation, of keeping our eyes on heavenly things instead of trying to build up earthly treasure. That message is contained not just in the Gospels, but throughout Scripture. But we as fallen human beings, we tend to gravitate to the things that feel good, the easy way, the comfortable way. But that's not the way to heaven. So, Father, please enable us to hear your words today and really keep focused on the message and increase our desire to do your will. We pray for our own needs. We pray for our family. We pray for our friends. We pray for our country. We pray for those around the world who are struggling. We pray for healing in body, mind, and spirit for all who are sick. We pray for comfort for those who are suffering for any reason, whether they be grieving or physically ill or lonely or confused. We pray, Father, for healing for those who are suffering in any way. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for our church. We pray especially not just for unity in our Catholic Church, but for unity among all Christian denominations. I especially want to lift up our separated brothers and sisters this day. Father, we know you want us to be united as one church with one set of beliefs. So we pray that with the help of your grace, that can happen. We pray for an end of war and terrorism. We pray that all souls will be converted this day and come to realize the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his desire to lead us to you forever in heaven. Father, give me the words. I need your words today for this program. And again, please open our hearts and our minds. Father, I ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm so glad to welcome you to the program. Now, here's the good news, and I've been talking about this. My new book, Lord Save Me, is officially available now. You can head on over to followingthetruth.com to pick up a copy of the book. I'll try to be talking about more about it in the weeks to come. I don't want to lose sight of the readings. The purpose of this program, I want to make sure we focus on the weekly mass readings for each Sunday. But I'll mention more about the book. I said before, just quickly, the book is for those who need God to become real to them. You know, so many times we pray in times of smooth sailing, when everything is going good in our lives. We pray sort of a calm prayer of, Lord, just bless me and bless those I love. But when we've got our back up against the wall, when we're in desperate need of the Lord to become real and save us, that's who this book is written for. So if you're going through that, if you know somebody who's going through that situation, this is a book of prayers, reflections, and Bible verses broken down into several different categories, categories which are anxiety-producing situations. And again, I will talk more about it in the weeks to come. But if you're interested in picking up a copy of the book and you think it might help you, think it might help somebody you know, followingthetruth.com is the best place to do it. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Also, while you're at the website, don't forget to sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Or if you want to invite me to speak at your parish, you can do that at followingthetruth.com as well. All right, I'm going to take a sip of my water and get ready to start here. Again, the theme is thinking ahead. Not always easy to do, is it? Because in order to think ahead and prepare to live forever in heaven and to make sure we get there, we're going to have to forego some pleasure and comfort that we could grab a hold of today. You know, if I'm going to get close to the Lord and expect to get to heaven, I need to spend some time with him, which means I have to sacrifice some of my own personal time, which is not always easy to do. Sometimes I'm called to help somebody out and I don't want to help them. You know, I just want to relax. But the Lord expects us to serve others. If we love him, we're going to love others, right? Sometimes it's a matter of turning away from sin. I want to do this. I really want to do this. I know it's going to feel good. I know what the church says, but these are the things that we have to do to prepare for eternal life, to make sure we get there. And don't think it's not a struggle for me. It absolutely is, because I like comfort. Suffering is hard for me. I like instant gratification. You know, I like to eat good food. I like candy. I like cake. I like these things. I don't have to work to find pleasure in things that taste good and feel good and make me happy. Finding comfort and pleasure and joy in the things that are not easy, the crosses that we have, sickness, loneliness, struggles of life. That's not easy. That's where I need the help of God's grace. And that's where I need to say, okay, I'm going to turn off the TV and I'm going to spend some time with Jesus now. And that's a decision that we have to make on some level, I would say, almost every day. And it's not always easy for me to turn off my music and start praying, right? It's not. Sometimes I succeed. I would like to say I succeed more often than not because I force myself to do it. But sometimes I think, not today. I need to listen to some music. I'm going to cut short my prayers. It doesn't mean music's wrong. It's not. Music, TV, sports, these things are okay, provided they're not immoral in any way. That's okay. But we want to make sure that we don't shortchange God, right? Make sure you spend time with him first before you do these things. This is a big mistake that I've made I made this mistake for many years. And again, I'm trying to work on it. I've gotten better with the help of His grace. But it's still something that I struggle with. So with that in mind, let's look at these readings. They're all about thinking ahead, the Mass readings for the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The Gospel comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 48. Jesus said to His disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." See, that's good news. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand, right? Our Father wants us to eventually enter into the kingdom in this life of God, and then eventually, at the end of our earthly life, enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's God's will for us. And that's what Jesus is telling His disciples. That's you and me. So He goes on to say, "Sell your belongings and give alms." Oh boy. "Provide money bags for yourself that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." And I'm just going to take a little break here and say, what Jesus is saying is, if you spend all of your time, all of your effort, collecting earthly stuff and indulging in earthly pleasure, then that's where your heart's going to be. Your heart's not going to be with Him and getting to heaven. And I will tell you, as somebody who has collected stuff since the time he was very young, this is hard for me. It's a very big challenge for me. And I struggle with this every day. It's very easy for some of us to seek comfort in the things that we could touch and see and smell and hear. And it's more difficult to take comfort in the things that are invisible. God's presence, grace, the kingdom of heaven, right? That's challenging, but it's not impossible. And that's what Jesus is telling us. All right, back to Jesus. "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." And Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward, whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." Now, I know this is a tough gospel, and there's a lot of imagery in here that we'd probably like to ignore. So let me just summarize, right? What the Lord is saying is, we're all going to die and be judged one day. Those of us who are privileged and blessed to know that, to call ourselves Christians, we're going to be held to a higher standard than somebody who might not know that good news. So we need to be alert and ready and begin today to make preparations for our eventual arrival in heaven. Today's not too early. Because we don't know. Tomorrow might be, we might be leaving on the trip. I don't mean to scare you, but it could happen. Today is all we have, right now, the present moment. So Jesus is saying, you know the deal. Make sure you're focused on getting to heaven. Our goal in life is to become saints. Maybe not canonized saints, but maybe so. But any resident of heaven is a saint. We're called, we were created to live in heaven when we die. That's God's will. Today is the day to begin preparing. Doesn't matter what we did in the past. You know, you read the lives of the saints, some of them have really sordid pasts. They weren't always holy. But we're called to begin today, to put aside everything we did in the past. Today's a new day. What are we doing to prepare to eventually live forever in heaven? First reading is a reading for the book of Wisdom, chapter 18, verses 6 through 9. The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Your people awaited the salvation of the just and the destruction of their foes. For when you punished our adversaries, in this you glorified us whom you had summoned. For in secret the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect with one accord the divine institution. What I get out of this when paired with the gospel is that we know in advance, as Christians, we know Jesus revealed we're going to be judged one day. And not everybody who just goes through the motions, who cries, Lord, Lord, is going to be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. You know, you might say, well, Gary, that's bad news. It's not. It's good news. It would be bad news if we didn't know about this. And what Jesus is saying is, look, get ready. Be prepared. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Don't let this day take you by surprise. You don't know when it'll be happening. So assume it's today and do your best to prepare. And the really good thing, here's the good news about the even better news, is that when you do that, when you live a life in accordance with God's will, when you follow his commands, you're going to be more peaceful than if you didn't. And sometimes we think, no, that's not true. If I commit lots of sins, it's going to feel good. Yeah, for a minute you'll feel good, right? I've done that. It doesn't work. The only true peace we can have in this life is to keep our eyes on the Lord and walk by faith, follow his commandments, and ask for the help of his grace. That's how we're going to find peace in life. That's not what you're going to hear from the world. The world's going to tell you just the opposite. Ah, these people who are into their religion, they're dreamers. No, we're realists. The people who don't believe, they're the ones who are kidding themselves. Let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 33. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. That's us. The Lord has chosen you and me to be his own, to live with him forever in heaven. Exalt you just in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. Blessed the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. That's you and me as Christians. Originally, this was written for the Israelites, but now that has been extended to all Christians. See, that's what Jesus did when he set up the new covenant. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope in his for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Those who trust in the Lord, those who anticipate life after death, those who choose to follow the Lord's plan, to do his will, to follow his commandments, right? Those of us who do that, we're blessed. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us, who have put our hope in you. We put our hope in the Lord that we're going to make it to heaven and that he's going to provide for us and make sure we get there. We don't put our hope in ourselves. That's when we mess up. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. All right, let's look at the second reading. I'm looking, this is a little lengthy, so I want to make sure I get this in. I'm going to get right to it. It's a letter from the Hebrews. Letter to the Hebrews, I'm sorry, chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Isn't that good? I have to read that again. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight as Christians. That's what St. Paul tells us. Faith means you can't see with your eyes all the time. Faith means putting your trust in someone or something. And as Christians, we're called to put our faith in Jesus, to listen to his words, to follow him, to ask for his help through prayer and the sacraments. You know, and that's important for us. That's what we're called to do. All right, let's hear about Abraham now. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith, he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile. For he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from this one man, himself as good as dead, descendants and as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands on the seashore. When God called Abraham to set out and follow him, he didn't tell him where he was going. He said, come on, Abraham, follow me. He didn't tell him where he was going. And Abraham followed because he had faith. Now, Abraham messed up along the way, but Abraham had a, you know, just like you and me, experienced various temptations, trials. You know, he was used to trusting in himself and his own power. But when God called him, God was asking him to trust in him and in divine power. And Abraham grew in faith up to the point where he was asked by God to sacrifice his son Isaac. Do you remember that? And Abraham willingly did it because he believed that if God was asking him to do this, and he also promised him descendants, then God would raise Isaac from the dead. That's what Abraham believed. That's what Abraham believed. And we're going to hear that as we continue on with this reading. So let me get back to it. All these died in faith. Okay, we're talking about all the Old Testament figures who had faith in God. They died in faith. They did not receive what had been promised. They didn't get to see the Messiah. That's what that's saying. But saw it and greeted it from afar and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. For those who speak thus show that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was ready to offer his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac descendants shall bear your name. He reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. Right there in the letter to the Hebrews, we see that explanation of why would Abraham do something so crazy as sacrificing his son? Well, he was willing to do it because God asked him to do it, and he believed that God could raise him from the dead. And what did God do? He stopped Abraham, and he said, no, you've proven how much you trust me. And this is how we grow in faith, by choosing to trust in the Lord, even when it doesn't fully make sense to us. I am not telling you to do something irresponsible or reckless. But you know, you've probably been in those situations where it's difficult to trust. Maybe an illness, maybe a financial difficulty, maybe it's some sort of a challenge in life where you have to say, all right, Lord, I trust you. Doesn't make sense to me. I don't like this. I don't know why it's happening, but I choose to trust you. And that's what he is calling us to do. And the more we do that, we step out in faith and exercise the faith that we have been given, you know, and originally received the gift of faith at baptism, the more we use that faith, the more our faith grows. Sometimes that means you're going to pray for a miracle. And I'm sure you've done that at times. That is really stepping out in faith. Sometimes you're going to just keep praying when it seems like God's not answering. That's exercising your faith. And by doing that, God gives us the grace to enable our faith to grow even more. So, you know, when we look at all the readings today, we see Abraham, we see the Old Testament figures who put their trust in God, even though their senses were telling them, this is ridiculous. You and me, we've never seen heaven. We don't know what heaven's like. But Jesus tells us that it's going to be good. He's prepared a place for us, and he's going to give us the grace to get there. But in order to make sure we receive the grace and keep on that path that will lead to heaven, sometimes we have to shift our focus away from the things of the earth, the things which distract us from walking with the Lord. It's not easy to do because we are bombarded with many reasons why we should indulge ourselves and not turn to the Lord. We hear it all the time, and it's difficult. We've got to make a choice. Are we going to listen to Jesus, who died on the cross because he loves us? Or are we going to listen to the advertisers or our friends or people we work with, people we see on TV or the internet, who are telling us, live it up, enjoy yourself, have fun? Jesus is telling us, where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. Let's make sure we focus on building up our heavenly treasure. And one day, God willing, I certainly hope to see you there. Okay? Amen? All right, we are just about out of time. Thank you so much for joining me on the program. It's always a pleasure to hang out with you. We do this each week. If you want to find more about my work, pick up a copy of my new book, Lord Save Me, check out followingthetruth.com. I hope you'll be able to join me next week. And until then, I'm going to be praying for you. Please pray for me as well. Thank you so much again for listening. God bless you.